Hello and welcome to the Professional Insight Podcast, season 4. Thank you all for listening, sharing, and caring, and really supporting us. We've got some great news on the horizon that we'll hint at this episode and next episode. Also, thank you to our longtime supporters and sponsors, Brand Boulevard, who have been with us since day one. And we're taking you with us, guys. We really appreciate your support.
Taking it up a notch.
We're taking it up just a wee bit. My name's Brandon Curry.
I'm Jeff Collins.
I'm Josh Bond.
And Trevor Lindy.
Can't believe he spoke. Holy crap. So guys, I just wanted to have a, so, you know, we're not, when this actually airs, we're not going to be in the proper time frame. We'll be way past our RSP season at that stage, which is understandable. But I mean, one of our listeners actually reached out, and did like a tire kick and had a couple questions for us or for me specifically around our RSPs. And I just thought it'd be without, you know, hinting at who that client is and who listens, because I blasted out to our 2,000 clients or whatever we have, I don't even know, in our e-blast. But the question has been twofold, and it's gonna, one is pertaining to myself, and then the other is pertaining to first Trevor Lindy and then Jeff Collins. So the first one is, one client asked, they did not need all of their income for the entire year. That amount, I'll just keep confidential what that was, because they are dual income home. They have no mortgage, and they were wondering if they should just deposit all of that money into an RRSP because they did have the room. I don't do their taxes. I don't know. I only know what I have visibility for. So when they kind of asked me that question, we had to have a phone conversation to kind of really dig deep, because that was a very random question to get asked, to deposit pretty much all of your one salary into an RRSP. The rule of thumb that I like to use, and you know, this is where a certified financial planner, such as myself, and a chartered accountant, CPA, we work together. And why it's so important to deal with professionals in the space, because once you use your RRSP room, you lose it. You don't get it back. So if you're doing it in a year where you have low income or you have a low tax rate, because your average tax rate due to write-offs and what have you, which average tax rate is the total tax that you pay divided by the income that you earned, you know, you always want to make sure that you're maximizing those RRSP contributions in a year where you have a higher average tax rate.
So said a different way, more so in bigger income earning years. So where you're making more money, that's when you want to try to leverage your RRSP contributions usually.
That's right. And you don't have the write-offs to bring down, you know, you don't either don't have a job where that allows you to do that, yeah, or you don't know, you know, you don't have the write-offs to bring them down that particular year. Like COVID is a great example where, you know, no one went anywhere. There was no meals and entertainment. There was no travel. So that would be a great year to maximize your RRSP contributions. Now you can carry them forward. However, if you're doing your own taxes, I highly, highly advise people, depending on, but for the most part, deal with a CPA, deal with a chartered accountant. They are worth their bloody weight in gold. We have a couple of great ones all the time. And that's exactly what I referred my client to, because I only had visibility and what they allowed me to have visibility to. And they did their own taxes. And I was just like, well, it's hard. There's a bunch of information I want to ask and you don't have the answers. So I really have a very hesitant time. The second thing is try to keep money deregistered for as long as you can. First of all, the tax-free savings account is the most powerful investment vehicle in Canada. It will benefit all Canadians. It is just utilized wrong, and that is a lot to do with the service clients are getting at their local financial institutions, because the knowledge just isn't there, and they just think that they can just be put into GICs.
So small earnings, usually, right?
But my God, it is going to be so powerful by the time that you retire.
No, but I mean small earnings on a GIC.
Oh yeah, I mean like it's nothing. So then the other piece is, so always maximize that, and then it might be a question of between putting the money.
Sorry, Curry.
Yeah,
just on a tax-free savings account. We might have some rookie investors listening in, right?
Yep.
So from what I understand, like a tax-free savings account, the benefit of it is you invest on after-tax dollars, but any income that you make from that
growth or income, yep, dividends, doesn't matter,
is tax-free in your pocket.
Yes, that's correct. And the amount is granted to you by the CRA every year. You're not earning it like an RRSP.
And does that carry forward?
It does. And when you withdraw in the year that you, let's say Bondo, let's use a stupid example. You and I, okay, you come to me, you're like, Curry, I got $50,000 of tax-free savings account room according to my notice of assessment. Okay, great. I want to put $50,000 in. Okay, cool. Give me 50 grand. And there's a couple things that happen. I invest it and I'm a rock star and I grow it by 50%. And the following year, you're like, Curry, I'm now at $75,000, 50% of 50 grand. I'm at 75 grand in my TFSA. I'd like to withdraw $25,000. Actually, I would like to maybe withdraw all of it for a down payment for a house is a great example.
Yeah.
You take out the 75,000. Now you've already maxed it out, right? You've already made those contributions.
Yep.
The following calendar year, you get your new amount, which this year it's $6,000 indexed to inflation, rounded up every equal 500 bucks. And you get the $75,000 of room that you withdrew.
So even the growth room?
Bingo.
Okay.
Bingo. And you, okay. What happened to your camera? There you are.
Sorry. Yeah, I think you had a call coming in.
Yeah, low power mode.
Oh, sorry. There you go. So yeah. So basically what that is if the money grows, you get that growth room that bumps up your cap. So now instead of 75,000, you've got 81,000, 6,000 plus 75 the following year. And it just keep, and you can recontribute. You just can't over contribute in the same year. And that's why you need to deal with a professional and be very, very careful. Day trading is also something that you got to be very, very careful of. Don't day trade in a, or recreationally trade in a tax-free savings account. You might be in trouble with the CRA. It's very, very kind of taboo on that.
Reporting, you got like, cause in terms of your reporting, your income and stuff,
doesn't fit the spirit of the account.
You do not, you are circumventing the spirit of the account.
Okay. Good to know.
The words taken right out of my mouth by Trev. That's right.
See, but one like question about that is why, well, yeah, of course. Right. Why, if it doesn't fit the spirit of the account, then why allow that to fall within the account?
So right now, I mean, a lot of financial institutions don't allow crypto, for example, or certain individual meme stocks to be held in them anyway. Yeah. You know, maybe your Robinhood apps and, you know, Wealthsimple apps might, but your normal financial institutions don't. Definitely crypto. That's hard, far and few between. But if they find that you are actively trading and trying to circumvent capital gains, the CRA will go back and they will tax you. They've already made that announcement. They've already made that that perfectly clear.
With penalty.
Oh, yeah. The other thing is that, you know, I had a client reach out and it was very general advice. And because I wrote our monthly newsletter about interest rates going up. And so he, you know, this client was like, should I lock in? Should I lock in for a 5-year fix? Should I do this? Should I do that? Like, what should I do? So Trev, if you want to maybe, you know, talk about that, because a lot of people are, what was it? Goldman Sachs came out this morning on Bloomberg. And so just for reference for everyone, we're recording this on February 11th, 2022. That is important because it is the Fed and the Bank of Canada have both said in their February meetings that they will not be increasing the interest rates, overnight lending rates this month, that they'll be punting that to their March meeting. So by the time you hear this, interest rates may have already increased.
Yeah, our next meeting is scheduled for March 2. First one was January 26th. They right, decided to hold flat. So Bank of Canada, not touching it. Short answer to your question, no. Why lock in? Larger answer to the question is we've got to look at your budget, or you, the customer, needs to look at your budget and determine whether or not the way I position a variable rate mortgage with every single solitary customer is on an annual basis, I want you to do a budget. Typically beginning of the year, just because you obviously know what you made the year prior, write-offs, all that sort of stuff. You've got a decent idea of where you're at. So at that point, do a budget for yourself and then determine how many rate increases, if they were to increase, that you can afford in that year. Rule of thumb, for every quarter point jump, your payment will increase. If you're in an adjustable rate, not a variable rate, your payment would increase by $13 per $100,000 that you owe. $39 per month. So plan that out, and then you can figure out from your budget perspective what makes the most sense, right? Does it make sense if the first half of the year in the out of the 8 predetermined meetings, the first half of the year, if they start to move up and you're getting to your maximum or hitting your comfort level, then consider locking in. But if it's on the latter half of the year, maybe you hold steady.
Now, it's also too, they want to, and that's very similar to the advice that, I mean, I touched base with you directly, privately, Trev, to get that information as well. And you just didn't know that it was the same person, but,
how many buttons you got done?
What's that?
How many buttons you got undone there?
Oh, I just got the one there, bud.
Okay. Sorry. I saw your hang on there for a few.
You're right. I'm a big variable guy myself. I didn't listen to my own advice back in 2019, but mind you, did I know that a global pandemic was going to, you know, end the world?
Come on, Richard, if I knew that, yeah.
Like, I mean, my God, I wish. But it is what it is. I'll be going variable when this one comes up and when comes due. I won't be making that mistake again. Does anyone else have anything to add to that piece? On the rate piece and the mortgage lock in. You know, Jeff, your opinion on that.
Opinion, I agree with you. I'm variable in all this stuff too, and I'll get my RSP checked to you shortly, so it'll get in before your deadline. Yeah. I appreciate the 15 reminders. That's what's good about you. I won't forget it.
I think this whole episode might just be to make sure that he reminds you, Jeff, that you got to get your RSP money deadline's in.
Happening there, bud.
I got two of them while we were doing the podcast, actually, so I'll make sure I'll get that done. I can't, though. You're going to have to pick it up for me because I'm isolating for 5 days.
That's right.
So I can't get it.
Someone got the vid.
Yeah, I did.
You can walk out with a hazmat suit and it doesn't matter. I'm triple vaxxed. I don't care.
I'm triple vaxxed, too. I don't have it right now. I'm negative, but we're just we're waiting for it to
be positive. Yeah, but you're positive on what you do for your clients, so it doesn't really matter.
But don't you go pick up the check for me from Scotia, and you can drop it off
if it's big enough. 100%, I'll do it. It's called service.
One of the RSPs are getting up there pretty good though. Now I'm pretty happy with them. They're getting there. You're making me good money. I'm happy with it.
I'm trying. But So more of these types of podcasts. So please, everyone that's listening, please send in your questions. Thank you so much. We want to keep it light. We are approaching the end of, when you're listening to this, this is the second last season of season four.
Second last episode.
Yeah.
Second last last episode is what I meant. Yes.
Yeah, we're not.
So basically our training is almost done and we're about to go up to.
We're getting recruited.
Ooh, damn.
We'll
keep that a little quiet. Let's do that next episode.
Yeah, we're
going out of the minors?
Oh yeah, we're going from double A to triple A. Not quite to the pros, but we're going to triple A.
I think, well, I don't know. I consider it to be a pro recruit, but anyway. I'm pretty.
I agree. The recruit's
the recruit is an all-star. The recruit is a major leaguer. That is 100%.
The recruitees are just, we're going up through minor ball right now though.
Yeah. They're just going to be, they like the talent, I guess. I don't, which is shocking, but anyway, we'll take it.
One of the things just to the whole variable conversation.
Oh yeah.
One of our lenders has given us a tool. Obviously it's branded for them. We're not actually distributing it out, but in the conversations that I'm having with people, the calculator, the Excel spreadsheet that they built, we can actually build in rate increases. So I have, with some clients, walked through this calculator and seen that we can, in some cases, go up 150 basis points. So 1.5% compared to what they're getting offered on a fixed rate versus what they can get today on a variable. And we've done the calculations, and the Bank of Canada would have to increase their rate by 150 points before it would have been advantageous for them to consider fixed. And in some cases, that rate is even higher because we are seeing fixed rates climb to that low 3% threshold now.
And also to put it into perspective, Trev, and correct me if I'm wrong, fixed rates are based on the bond market. Variable rates are based on the overnight lending rate. And so to Trevor's point, when you have 10-year, 20-year treasury yields going through the roof, it's very plausible, and especially right now, for fixed rates on 5, 7, and 10-year mortgage locked in to outpace the rate that a variable rate would be increasing. Is that fair, Trev?
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. And literally, as we're speaking, I just literally just got an email from Scotia saying effective 11:59 p.m. Sunday, rates are going up again.
Fixed or variable?
Fixed. Yeah, fixed. Yeah, the only time the Bank of Canada moves is at a regularly scheduled meeting, with the exception of, like we experienced in 2020, the beginning of the pandemic. They did a couple of emergency meetings to lower the rate, but when it comes to going up, those happen at their regular scheduled meetings. So the last thing I'll say on that, anybody that's listening that wants to know, they're always on a Wednesday, basically about 6 weeks apart, March. So the 2022 meetings, March 2, April 13, June 1, July 13, September 7, October 26th, and December 7th. Those are all of the remaining meetings that we have for 2022.
Perfect. Help us help you stay informed.
Hi, I'm Emily Roger, and I host a leadership show called The Boiling Point with my co-host, Dave Vail. Together, we sit down with trailblazing entrepreneurs, thought leaders, and movement makers who are driving meaningful change in our world. The show is all about exploring the lives and perspectives of leaders who are making a difference. Join us for insightful conversations that challenge the status quo, spark new ideas, and inspire you to take action. Find us on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, or at BoilingPointPodcast.com.
Do, Did, Will, the Story of People podcast is now available on the Crier Media Network. The first 5 episodes are here and feature some incredible guests that fit into one or all 3 of those categories. Ready? Tara Sloan from the San Jose Sharks, Undercurrent podcast at NBC Sports. Marianne Iveson from Iveson Voice and the Let's Take This Outside podcast to talk about the world of outdoors as well as voiceover land. Ariana Hunsicker, future Canadian Paralympic swimmer, already winning tons of awards for this country. Scott McGregor from the Hot Wallet podcast to dumb down the world of crypto, Bitcoin, and NFTs so you don't have to. and Jackie Holowaty from Climate Pledge Arena in Seattle, Washington, the first net zero carbon certified arena on the planet. Wherever you get your pods, wherever you watch your pods, and on the Crier Media Network.
Produced by Crier Media and distributed by the Sound Off Media Company.